This can go up online from this thing.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Okay, good evening. Thank you for coming. Apparently SodaStream is a very popular topic, which is good to know. Just the impetus for tonight's shiur is a few weeks ago we had a Welcome to the Heights Oneg, and we were discussing some questions about living in the Heights, including some of the buildings that are now installing electrical locks. There's electric magnetic locks that have been put into a few of the buildings, and it's a nuisance at best and a serious halachic issue if it's worse than just being a nuisance. And we were discussing that, and in the context of that discussion, so I mentioned the first source that we have over here on our sheet, which is a tshuva of the Beis Yitzchak. The Beis Yitzchak is Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis. We don't know exactly when this tshuva was written. We do know that Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis wrote some tshuvas, including a very famous tshuva about Geirus. He wrote in the year 1876. 1876 is an important year for us because 1876 is also the year that Alexander Graham Bell patented the telephone. Alexander Graham Bell is not the inventor of the telephone. There was around 25 people before Alexander Graham Bell who had ideas of inventing a telephone and what exactly, I'm talking about something beyond a tin can telephone. Tin can telephones, people have been using for a very, very long time, but we're talking about like an electrically operated telephone. People have been discussing it for many, many years before. Alexander Graham Bell happened to have been an entrepreneur. He was a good businessman. He got a patent for it. Hence, he became famous. That patent was in the year 1876. Okay, so that's important because around that time, Yitzchak Shmelkis is writing his tshuvas. Now, his tshuvas are dealing with the topic of electricity on Shabbos. He writes that if I turn on the light bulb on Shabbos, and by a light bulb he means an incandescent light bulb, that is an Issa D'oraisa. That's Yitzchak Shmelkis's contribution. An incandescent bulb, basically, there is a filament inside. The filament glows. It gets very hot. It produces heat and light. That is an Issa D'oraisa of Mavir. It's burning. That's the consensus opinion. Some assume that the Issa D'oraisa involved might be a malach of Mavasho, might be cooking in some way or another. But the consensus of Poskim is turning on an incandescent bulb on Shabbos is an Issa D'oraisa. Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis assumes that way also. It's interesting that in the tshuvos of the Chokas Yaakov is Rabbi Yaakov Breish. He was a Holocaust survivor. He wrote tshuvos after the war and before the war. There is a haskama on his first volume of tshuvos by Reb Isser Zalman Meltzer. Reb Isser Zalman was the father-in-law of Reb Aaron Cutler. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Slutsk. He was famous. Now, I say haskama because it's not really a haskama. Usually a haskama is a letter of approbation. It says, I read this book, I approve of it, or as the famous haskamas from Lakewood now go, I looked at him, he has a beard, right? So that's what a haskama basically is. Or I looked at him, he doesn't have a beard, right? Those are haskamas. Reb Isser Zalman Meltzer, his haskama to the Tshuvas Chokas Yaakov, basically writes, I don't know why you're asking me for haskama. I used to be a pulpit rabbi. I had a community in Slutsk. Now I'm not a rabbi anymore. I'm just a Rosh Hashiva. I can't think about halachic topics anymore because I'm a Rosh Hashiva. Right? That's basically his haskama. And then he says, by the way, this idea that you mentioned in middle of your tshuvas, now in some editions in his tshuvas at Simon Mem Tes, in other editions at Simon Ayin Beis with the Chokas Yaakov, this idea that you mention that perhaps there is no Torah prohibition in turning on an incandescent bulb on Shabbos, he says, I have a tradition that chas v'shalom to say something like this. I have a tradition from Reb Chaim Ozik Rejensky that turning on an electric light bulb on Shabbos is definitely an Issa D'oraisa, and you can't even entertain the possibilities that it's not an Issa D'oraisa. It certainly is a Torah prohibition, and therefore I'm not giving you a haskama on your sefer because you entertained the idea that it's only rabbinically prohibited. That's what Issa Zalman's haskama, in quotes. Fine. So, the basic issue that we are up to now is we are assuming, and this is pretty much the consensus opinion, turning on an incandescent bulb on Shabbos is a do'oraisa. It's a do'oraisa of mavir, of making fire. What about, though, if I turn on an electric appliance on Shabbos that does not make light or heat? So it's not a fire. So there's no iser d'oraisa of mavir involved, right? That's the general assumption. The assumption also is that it is forbidden to turn on electrical appliances on Shabbos, but we're not exactly sure why. It's not matter, yeah.
When you say heat, what qualifies as heat?
Heat probably means something that is over Yad Zola Dispo. Now, I should mention, the Chazon Ish, in one of his essays about electricity, assumes that turning on every electrical appliance is a malacha of mavir or mevashel, he says, because the wires get hot. Now, since we today have what's called solid-state electronics, it's right. You want to explain this to everyone what it is?
I'm a lawyer.
Right? I have no idea what it is. But solid-state electronics apparently makes it that the wires do not really get hot anymore. But in one of his essays on electricity, the Chazon Ish wanted to say that just turning on a fan, we'll use a fan as the paradigm of an electrical appliance that doesn't involve light or heat. Turning on the fan on Shabbos, the Chazon Ish said, also is a deoraisa because of mavir and mevashel, because I'm cooking the wires, and I'm making a little bit of heat in them, even if it's not that hot. He says it's a chatzi shir. We hold the end of Maseches Yoma, the chatzi shir is asur min haTorah, to do something part of the way is also a Torah prohibition. Therefore, the Chazon Ish says it's going to be forbidden. But this position is not accepted in general. Why it's not accepted requires a whole other shiur. We could give like 10 different shiurim on electricity, but that's not what I want to discuss tonight. What I want to discuss tonight is Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis's application. Okay, so let's read Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis. This is the Hashmatos to Yerideya Simin Lamed Aleph. By the way, this is the same tshuva where he says that it's forbidden to ride on the trolley on Shabbos because you might break off a branch and hit the trolley to make it go faster. Right, same tshuva. Fine. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis is the one who asks using all means of transportation on Shabbos as well. People ask me about like riding subways on Shabbos sometimes. Can you get on a subway before Shabbos and continue to ride on Shabbos?
What do you say? That's a deraisa or?
No. That's a prohibition. It's a derabbanan. It's a rabbinic prohibition. I might break off a branch. I might hit it. Usually, we assume that only applies to animals. He assumes that the prohibition applies to any means of transportation. Again, the rabbis are very scared of Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis. He is a major league posek. In fact, the three-day Eish, in his treatment of riding the trolleys in Eastern Europe on Shabbos, he says that even though we don't understand what Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis is talking about, but Kvar Horazakein, the old man, so to speak, Paskind, will accept his opinion. We'll see in a few minutes if Shlomo Zalman Auerbach goes along similar lines. So let's just read Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis and then we'll analyze it. Hine, bifnim dibarti odos ner elektri. Inside, in other words, in my tshuvas, I spoke about electric lights. Az kibazeh v'din im reshaim l'daber b'shabes amachona hanikres telephone. Okay, so he said, I spoke in my tshuva about turning on electric lights. He assumes that's a Torah prohibition. Now I want to speak about this machine that they call a telephone. Right? I don't think I have to explain to you what a telephone is. Maybe our grandchildren won't understand, but we understand what a telephone is. V'hine, l'fi ani estaiti yesh iser b'davar, v'shomer nafsho yirchak mizeh, there is a prohibition, and a person who is nervous about his soul should keep a distance. Kimovar masha muchrach ha-medaber b'mechona kazos, v'hakos mikolem b'pa'amon, eis yirtzel adaber. Okay, apparently the way you used to use the old telephones that you had to first hit a bell when you wanted to speak, and when I'd hit the bell, then they would allow me to talk in the telephone. I have no idea exactly what this meant. Anyone remember something like this?
No, but think about the intercom in your building.
The intercom in my building.
That's something in order to speak.
Oh, okay. So it's something wrong. But apparently there was like a bell on the other end. It would make some noise.
You'd probably need an operator to connect
to. Okay. So I would call. Right, so I guess I would call. I'd make a ring to the operator, and the operator would connect me. So he wants to say that's an iser, v'zeh also mishum mashmiyakol. There's a prohibition of creating noise on Shabbos. So that's iser number one, mashmiyakol. It's a prohibition that's midrabanan, right? No one is saying that using a telephone Shabbos is a Torah prohibition. It's a rabbinic prohibition. The question is, what's the nature of the rabbinic prohibition? So he wants to say it's mashmiyakol. But then he writes, Yesh lesser old mishum da'ayide sigiras zerem elektri, nolad koach elektri. When I close the electrical circuit, I create electrical power. V'zeh aser b'Shabbos. and this is prohibited on Shabbos, de kemo b'schufei kasa ashiroi, aminan in beta chaf gimel de asim shemola dreicha, hu adin de asim lasos elektrisha far bindig b'Shabbos. Okay? What this means is, just like rubbing a cup on silk garments is forbidden on Shabbos and on Yontiv, that's the Gemara in Beitza on Daf Chaf Gimel. There's a prohibition, and we have the Gemara over here in Beitza, that Rabbi and Rav Yosef both say that Schufei Kasa Ashirai on Yontiv is Aser. If I take a cup of good-smelling wine and I rub it on some silk garments, that's prohibited. My Taima, Mishum de Kamolad Recha, it is creating a fragrance, it's creating a smell in the garment. So also, says Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis, just like there's a prohibition of creating a smell in a garment on Shabbos and on Yontiv, so it's also Aser Lasos Elektrisha Farbindug. Farbindug is, anyone know? What? Yeah, I think so. Bindug is like building in German. Fine. Umehai Taima Aser Ladaiti Lasos Zodavasser B'Shabbos. Anyone knows what Zodavasser is? What? Seltzer. Zodavasser is soda water. Soda water is also known. There should be some extra sheets so people could pass them around. Zodavasser is seltzer. So he wants to say, right, a fascinating line in the Tshuva, that there is a prohibition on Shabbos of making electrical current. Why? Because I make electrical current, let's say, to run a telephone. Right. What happens is I am creating something that is new on Shabbos, and that's a prohibition like molad reyach, like making a new fragrance in a garment, which is prohibited. And that's the same reason he assumes why it's forbidden to make seltzer on Shabbos, because the gamsha molad harkava chemis, there also you are making a chemical reaction, chemical something or another, right? That's what Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelke says, okay? In other words, that the same prohibition, it's all based on this Gemara based on Daf Chaf Gimel. Gemara in Beitza says, I can't rub a cup on my garment and add some fragrance to it, because that's molad reyach, making a new smell. So just like I can't make a new smell, apparently I can't make anything new. I can't make new current, make a new item move based on the current. And I also can't make seltzer on Shabbos. It's the same type of issue. So, there is a lot to talk about with this analogy of making seltzer to electricity on Shabbos. And by the way, it seems to me that this is the most accepted opinion about the prohibition of electricity on Shabbos. Okay, the Chazon Ish has an opinion about electricity on Shabbos, that the Chazon Ish assumes using electricity on Shabbos. Again, we're talking about electricity without an incandescent bulb. Chazon says it's a deoraisa, it's a Torah prohibition, because I am being bona, I'm building a circuit. Very hard to understand what that means exactly. Usually bona means I notice something, I put it together, that's bona, right? Very hard to understand why this would be bona. Maybe we'll discuss that chaznish in greater length in the next week or two. There are other prohibitions that are mentioned in terms of why using electricity on Shabbos is forbidden. But the most, to my mind, the most accepted prohibition for the most accepted reason for the prohibition of electricity is because it is molad on Shabbos. It is making something new. That's why I can't run my fan. Until now, my fan is not operating. Now it runs. It is operating. I'm like making something new. That seems to be the prohibition. Now, even though Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has serious questions on this approach of Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis, but he writes in his tshuvas in Mincha Shlomo Simen Tes on page 74, he says, even though I have a lot of questions. Achma e'eseh, what can I do? Shekevar hora zaken hagon Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis in the Beis Yitzchak. And he says that the prohibition is based on molid. So what can I do? Even though I have these questions, it seems like he's accepting it. Many people, I think, write articles about electricity and they don't fully understand Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying. They think that Reb Shlomo Zalman feels that all the reasons for electricity don't apply, and the only reason not to use electricity on Shabbos is because of a minhag. People smarter than I am wrote articles to this effect. I think they're making a mistake, because I think Reb Shlomo Zalman, ultimately, even though he has a question, but he is deferring to Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis' approach in this tshuva. He is saying that Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis' approach, that the reason for electricity being forbidden on Shabbos is because of Moled, seems to be the governing reason. That is what he writes over here. Now, what? Chelak Tes of Mincha Shlomo, page 74. If you want to read it, I could. I have it right in front of me. Okay? Now, I want to take this analogy for Yitzchak Shmolkus apart in a few different ways, because there are two different ways of assuming that this analogy is incorrect. Remember, he's assuming that just like we have a prohibition of molad reyach, of instilling a fragrance into a garment, that's given, that's a Gemara. So that prohibition leads to a prohibition of electricity and also a prohibition of making seltzer on Shabbos. And he puts the two together, electricity and seltzer. So we have to talk about why this analogy might not be correct, and we could say it in two opposite directions. Okay, there is one way to say that maybe making electricity on Shabbos is permitted, but making seltzer is forbidden. Alternatively, we could also say that making a seltzer is permitted and electricity is forbidden, right? So we could do this in two opposite extremes. Okay, you with me? So, how could I say that which way should we do first? Any suggestions? Okay. How could I say that electricity is more lenient than seltzer? Right, how could that come about? So that come about for the simple way as follows. The Tzitz Eliezer in the Tshuva, Chelak Aleph Simen Chaf Perek Yod. I don't think I gave it to you, did I? It was I gave you a different Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer, Chelak Aleph Simen Chaf Perek Yod. Basically, some of these Tshuvas are just a little bit too long to cut and paste when I try to keep it to two pages. Tzitz Eliezer over there wants to say that he thinks the prohibition of molad, of making something new, is only if I make something new that is recognizable to one of the five senses. Right? They teach us in nursery school that there are five senses, which I think is still correct. Right? No one has proven that there's more or less. Right? So, says the Tzitz Eliezer, molad reyach means that there's smell. Smell means that's one of the five senses. So that's prohibited. Right? Similarly, the other types of molad, the Gemara speaks about grinding ice on Shabbos as being a prohibition of molad. Right? Shabbos daf nun. Grinding ice is a prohibition. I take ice, I make it into water. That's something that's very noticeable. You see it's different, you could touch the difference, right? That the five senses notice it. When I establish electric current, when I make a circuit, there's nothing noticeable to one of my five senses. Now, there might be something that's noticeable in terms of the results. Now my fan is spinning, but what I did fundamentally is I made a current. There is nothing that's noticeable. Says Reb Yitzchak, says the Tzitz Eliezer, he thinks that molad has to be something that is noticeable. If it's not noticeable, it can't be molad. That's point one. Point one. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach does not agree with this. Okay, on the previous page in Mincha Shlomo, page 73, he contends that molad. By the way, when I speak about pages in the Mincha Shlomo, I'm talking about the edition. There are two editions of Mincha Shlomo. There's a black edition and a red edition. I only have the red edition at home. If you want the black edition, that's what we had in Yeshiva today. It got me completely confused. So I couldn't find anything. I had to go home and get my own edition. Because I can't find anything in the new black edition, whatever. Yeah. But there's also one or two slight differences in the editions, but that's for the scholars. Okay, so Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thinks that the prohibition of molad applies even if something is not noticeable, and his proof is as follows. Am I allowed a tovel kalem on Shabbos? Actually, some people from Breuer's a few weeks ago came over to me with a whole complaint that in Mount Sinai they use the Erev. I'm like, yeah, I know that. Like, that doesn't bother me very much. So he's like, well, he saw people toveling kalem on Shabbos because they're using the Erev. So I said, well, you know, there is a way in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed a tovel kalem on Shabbos beheter. Right? Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to tovel kalem on Shabbos. I can't take my kalem and put it in because it's like tikkun maneh, no? It's like fixing the kalem. The kalem isn't usable beforehand. I stick it into the mikvah, now it's usable. So you're really not supposed to type of kale in my chalice, but the Mugginathum tells you that if I have the type of kale that I could fill up with water, so I'm allowed to cheat. In other words, I'm allowed to say, oh, yeah, I really need water, so I'll go to the mikvah and I'll get some water, right? And therefore, when I go to the mikvah to get the water, that way I'm also going to be titling my kele illegally. So I said, how do you know that my balabatim didn't know this Mugginathum? That's what I told the guy. So I don't know if he was so taken by my arguments, but whatever. That was the conversation that we had. I think it's important to be... So the Mugginathum writes that you shouldn't make a bracha, because if you make a bracha, then it will be clear that you're totaling the kele.
But then you have to take the water home and use it.
What?
You have to take the water home and use it
if you do it right, because it looks like I'm filling up. Maybe the water in my apartment ran out, so I want to fill up with nice, clean mikvah water.
So,
yeah.
Have you fulfilled your obligation of totaling the?
If I do that way, I fill my obligation of totaling kelim. Yeah. Because
if it needs a bracha.
What?
If it needs a bracha.
Ideally, I should make a bracha, but every mitzvah that I do without a bracha, the mitzvah is still valid. But this Mugginathum about titling kelim on shas, I shouldn't make a bracha, is actually very important, because the Mishnah Berurah has a question when the woman goes to the mikvah every on the Shabbos. So how does she make a bracha? No? That's the Mishnah Berurah's question. Maybe she shouldn't make a bracha, because the only heter to go to the mikvah on Shabbos is it looks like you're cooling off. If I make the bracha, it doesn't look like I'm cooling off. There's a whole literature about this. I gave a shiur about it recently. Different topic. But the point is that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, one second, so I'm not allowed to tevel a keli on Shabbos. Why not? Because it's tikkun keli. It looks like I'm fixing the keli. Doesn't it look like I'm fixing the keli? There's nothing noticeable. It's spiritual. You know? The tikkun that happens is not noticeable to the five senses. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, again, he makes a kal vachomer. He says, well, if there is going to be a prohibition of tikkun keli with a spiritual type of tikkun, and he has two examples, taking off trumas and masos on Shabbos and tevelin kelim on Shabbos, if spiritual tikkun is considered tikkun, so also spiritual whatever we'll call it is moled. Right? In other words, making an electric current, I don't notice it, but it's there, so if it could be tikkun keli, it could also be moled. That's what Shlomo Zalman's argument. He does, and again, obviously he's arguing on the Tzitz Eliezer, but he's not mentioning him by name. Yes.
The Isser of being Tovel Kalim is a Gzeira Derabbanan.
Atzum Makabapatish.
You get confused and think that you can do real Makabapatish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe people will get confused between what's physical and what's spiritual, but that doesn't imply that's something like
But remember, molad means I made something new. People will think I'm allowed to make new things on Shabbos because this item has spiritually or in a non-tangible way has changed.
But isn't molad only Durabanan?
Absolutely. So you're saying it's like a gezeira on the Durabanan? Maybe. I mean, maybe that's a distinction to make. Again, I'm not convinced that Reb Shlomo Zalman is correct in his way of refuting Tzitz Eliezer, but it certainly is an interesting argument. Then Rav Shlomo Zalman continues. He says, well, if you want to tell me that the prohibition of electricity is because it is molad, molad is making something new. So I understand, right? I have silk garments, and they never had a fragrance put into them. And now I put it in for the first time, so that's making something new. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman, and by the way, this is a classic Rav Shlomo Zalman. In almost all of his tshuvas, he has a form of argument based on analogy. He argues just based on logic and saying, you can't tell me X, Y, and Z because everybody knows, like, and you know, you'll be along with him, and then you end up in the point where he wants you. So he goes, you're not going to tell me, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that if I have, let's say, a silk shirt, that I always add a fragrance to it, and then the fragrance goes off, and then they add it again, then it goes off, and they add it again. You're not going to tell me that that's molad. Because molad on Shabbos is, like Rashi writes here in Beitza, it's molad davar chadash, I make a new thing. If it's an item that's meant to be done and undone, done and undone, done and undone, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's not molad. Consequently, he wants to say that when it comes to electricity on Shabbos, it can't be molad. Because what am I doing? I'm turning my fan on, and now the fan spins. So that's molad. I made a new fan. Okay, it's new. But the fan, then it goes off, then I make it new, then it's off, then new. Right? Since it's meant to be done and undone, done and undone, that can't be molad, because molad means I'm making a new item to begin with. This is not making a new item to begin with. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's argument why he thinks molad is not applicable to electricity on Shabbos. By the way, this argument, though, would lead us to what's the status of seltzer? Seltzer would be, according to both Rav Shlomo Zalman in this argument and the Tzitz Eliezer in his argument, seltzer would be more chamor than electricity. Because my fan is meant to go on and off. My seltzer, right, my soda stream, right, you're not supposed to have to keep on adding the carbon to the water. If you have to keep on adding, right, that's not the way it works. So it would seem that according to this argument, seltzer should be stricter than electricity. Point one. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman then proceeds, and he has an interesting argument, which we have to take seriously, although there's not much you could do with it. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, he's like, I don't understand the whole prohibition of molad. Right? I'm making something new on Shabbos. And that's forbidden. Like Rashi says, it looks like a malacha. Right? That's what Rashi writes. It's karov hu la'osa malacha chadasha. Okay. So if I, let's say, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch that there is no prohibition of tzoveya when it comes to food items, no? And most assume, against the Ben Ishchai, that applies to drinks also. So therefore, there's no prohibition if I have white wine to add some red wine to it and make it red. That's generally what we assume. It happens that this might be an entire mistake in Shulchan Aruch. This is not my chiddush, this is the Bir Halacha's chiddush, but even though the Shulchan Aruch and the Simin Shinchot says that there's no tzoveya by Ochlem, but that's based on the Sefer Yerayim. If you look at the Sefer Yerayim inside, he doesn't say that. Sefer Yerayim sounds like there is tzoveya by Ochlem. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah recommends Halacha L'maisa, that a person should be careful not to dye food on Shabbos. Certainly, not to dye foods on Shabbos, and my intention is only to add color. That's why Mishnah Berurah says that on Pesach, if I want to have red wine, because there's like a chumrah to have red wine, Zecher L'dam or something, I shouldn't make the wine red on Pesach. I should do it beforehand. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah, in his long essay about how to make tea on Shabbos, Mishnah Berurah says that first you should add the tea, then add the water on Shabbos, because that's somehow, I'm not exactly sure how, but he writes in the Sha'ar Tzion, this will solve the problem of Tzoveya. So Mishnah Berurah really is machmir not to do Tzoveya by food on Shabbos. But the fact is that Shulchan Aruch says that there's no prohibition of tzoveya on Shabbos when it comes to food. There's no prohibition of dyeing when it comes to food items. Okay, so if that's the case, there's no prohibition of dyeing when it comes to food items. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, 1 second. That means I had a white apple, now it's red. And that's permitted. Doesn't that look like a new thing? Shouldn't that be molad? Right? Moreover, it says in Shulchan Aruch that certain types of fruits I'm allowed to squeeze on Shabbos. If it's a type of fruit that no one squeezes on the whole planet, or at least in your part of the world, no one squeezes, so that fruit you're allowed to squeeze on Shabbos. I'm making something new. Right? It used to be a solid, now it's a liquid. Just like the ice I can't squeeze to become water, how come I'm allowed to squeeze the fruit? Mm-hmm. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you know what? He thinks that we don't understand this entire prohibition of molad, and therefore you can't extrapolate from it at all. You can't make up your own molad. The cases of molad that are forbidden in the Gemara are forbidden. The other cases of molad, those that are not mentioned in the Gemara, are going to be permitted. And that's it. That's what he says, again, all in svara, all in logic. He says this. But lemaisa, push comes to shove, Reb Shlomo Zalman says that he thinks that Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis is going to be accepted because Kivar HaRezakim, because the older man already paskin. In other words, even though logically he doesn't understand his extension to electricity for the two or three reasons that we mentioned, but practically speaking, he feels bound by it. And when it comes to making seltzer on Shabbos, Rav Shlomo Zalman, in this source, writes that even though there are those who question making electricity on making seltzer on Shabbos, there are those who question that should be permitted, but he says there are some who are makel, or I should be more precise, lemaisa, there are many who are makel, but it doesn't sound like he himself is inclined to permit it. He says, lemaisa rabim mekilim bazeh, but he himself never says in this source that it's actually permitted. We'll hold on this for a few minutes. Okay, so let's just review what we're up to. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelke says making seltzer on Shabbos and making electricity are the same prohibition, both molid. We wanted to say, based on the Tzitz Eliezer of Shlomo Zalman, maybe making electricity should not be molid, but seltzer could be worse because that's more of a permanent change. That is point one. Chacham Ovadia Yosef in the Tshuva Chelek Gimel Simen Chaf Aleph says it the opposite way. Chacham Ovadia Yosef wants to say that maybe making electricity is a prohibition of molid, but making seltzer is going to be permitted, and that's because he has a Tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi that he likes. The Chacham Tzvi says that there's no prohibition of molid when it comes to foods. Making new things on Shabbos does not apply to food at all. There's no molid when it comes to food. Chacham Tzvi's Raya, by the way, is from Tzvi of Ochlan. If there's no prohibition of dying when it comes to foods, so then there should be no prohibition of molid also. Because every case when I die of food, it looks like it's something new. Now, one could argue that this Chacham Tzvi also isn't compelling. Because when it comes to dying a substance, so what I have is an apple. The apple used to be red, now it's green. I dyed it. Is that a new thing? Or people would say, no, you changed it a little bit. As opposed to seltzer, I think people might say it's completely different. It used to be called water, now it has a new name. It's called seltzer, or Zodavasa. It has a new name entirely. Maybe in the terms of molid, right, there's a question of change in degree and change in kind. And perhaps one could argue, again, I'm not saying this for certain, but one could perhaps argue that the prohibition of molid only applies to change in kind, and maybe seltzer is viewed like a totally different thing as opposed to just coloring my foods. Yeah?
But to be what Shlomo Zalman asked for a minute, would that imply that, for example, you couldn't make tea or coffee?
So, again, if I'm really nervous about Sovei Abba Ochlam, I can't make tea and coffee, and if I'm really nervous about molid on Shabbos,
for
molid reasons, perhaps, again, it's inconceivable, right? Everyone makes tea on Shabbos. It can't be. Again, remember, though, when I make tea on Shabbos, the proper way, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is I'm using tea scents. So, really, I'm not making something that's completely different. I am... Right.
Using a mix.
To use a mix also.
For whatever drink it is.
So again, do people say that, yeah, I guess people do say it used to be water, now it's tea. So one could argue that would be a prohibition of molid in the reductio ad absurdum. Right, absolutely. I think that's true. So now, let's just... This issue, by the way, of the Chacham Tzvi, who wants to say that there's no molid on foods... is also found in the Shita Mekubetzes here in Beitza. The Shita Mekubetzes basically wants to understand that there's a machlokis there in the Gemara in Beitza between Rabba and Rava, and Rava is assuming that there's no problem de ba'oklan o shayach olu de recha bekelon hu de shayach. Right? There's a machlokis in the Gemara, just not to get into the details, but the prohibition would not apply to food at all. Now, there is another huge problem over here with this analogy between molid and the prohibition for electricity. The prohibition of molid on Shabbos, we're saying, comes from this Gemara in Beitza about adding a fragrance to my clothing, right? Okay. Find that for me in the Rif, the Rambam, or the Rush. Or Shulchan Aruch. It's not there. Okay? You can't find it because it's not there. So the major post-Gimon Judaism, Rambam, Rif, and Rush, the people who Shulchan Aruch is based on, and consequently it's not in Shulchan Aruch, never quote that it's forbidden to add a fragrance into clothing on Shabbos. The Ramah quotes it, but Rambam, Rif, and Rush don't. Chacham Ovad Yosef, in a different one of his tshuvas, Chelak Vav, Yabia Omer Simen Lamed Vav, he wants to say, you know why they don't mention it? Again, he goes through the whole Gemara, and he's convinced that they reject this line in the Gemara, that we assume that there is no prohibition at all of molid on Shabbos, or at least Sfaradim assume that way. Now, if that's the case, it's sort of like Kevin Shenafah HaYesod, Nafah HaBinyan. No? I'm trying to build a prohibition of electricity based on molid. Well, for Sfaradi Rishonim and for Shulchan Aruch, there's no prohibition of molid. It only exists according to Ashkenazim. That is a serious problem. But the fact is, Ashkenazim do assume that there is a prohibition. The prohibition is found in the Rambah. It's found in the Magen Avraham and in the Taz. Magen Avraham and Taz assume that I'm not allowed. Apparently, there used to be a practice when the Kohanim would duchen, they wanted them to have nice water to duchen with. So they wanted to add a fragrance to the water on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham and Taz say that this is a terrible thing. It's absolutely forbidden. The Chacham Tzvi contends that it's permitted. We have the Chacham Tzvi here, by the way, in the Shari Tshuva, if you want to see. I mentioned the Chacham Tzvi that he says by foods there's no prohibition of molid. It's all here in the Shari Tshuva. So this is there in Ashkenazi Poskim. Certainly they accept the prohibition of molid. If you... What? The Ramos and Tavkuf Yud Aleph. Here. Oh, it's on the sheet also. On Tav Kofi Av Sif Dalet. Hagah, the Ramah quotes the Gemara. Azar Lishtov Kof Mi Bosim Aha Begadim Yishun Demolad Behen Reyach. Right? So the Ramah quotes the prohibition. He quotes it from the Rav HaMagid. That's true. You're quoting the Magid Mishnah because the Rambam doesn't have it. The Magid Mishnah assumes that even the Rambam holds of this, but it's questionable. Fine. Years and years ago, so now we're holding in two different places. We're holding in terms of electricity. What's the prohibition of using electricity on Shabbos? And there has to be some prohibition. So maybe it's molid. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak Shmoka says. And he also says seltzer is prohibited based on molid. We wanted to suggest that you could break this analogy down in both directions. You could say, well, maybe electricity is not a problem and seltzer is. Maybe seltzer is not a problem, electricity is. But the fact is, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmokis makes an equation. Halacha l'maisa, what do the poskim say about making seltzer on Shabbos? So, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmokis clearly says it's forbidden. I don't think there's any way to reread what he says. The older European poskim all said that making seltzer on Shabbos is forbidden. The Maharsham, in a tshuva in Chelek Aleph, Simen, Maharsham, I could find it in a minute. There are two tshuvas in the Maharsham. Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Mem. The Maharsham assumes that making seltzer on Shabbos is prohibited based on molid, one. Two, Maharsham thinks it's prohibited because he says it's mechzi kemevashel. Very interesting idea, no? When I cook something on Shabbos, usually bubbles come. When I make seltzer, bubbles come. Therefore, when I make seltzer on Shabbos, it is mechzi kemevashel. It looks like I am cooking. That's what the Maharsham wants to say. Many assume that this Mechzik HaMavashel issue is a little bit far-fetched. Far-fetched, by the way, is one of those English words that really sounds Yiddish. But the fact is, they say, one second, usually to have Bishul, it has to be that what? That there is some heat source. No? Like, to cook without any heat, assume it's Mechzik HaMavashel just because there are bubbles is really, it's an extension that the Maharsham makes. There are the Tzitz Eliezer in the Tshuva and Chelek Zayin, Simen Chof Dalet. I give you the Tshuva. He says that it's forbidden to make seltzer on Shabbos. His prohibition may or may not apply to our soda stream. Basically, he's very nervous about the way you set up this machine that makes the seltzer, you attach the balloon to it, and there might be a problem of making a hole on Shabbos, etc. They have like a little bomb or something in the old machines.
No? Oh.
So attaching that on Shabbos, he felt might be a some sort of problem of bone. Then he wants to say, based on the Chazon Nish, by electricity, maybe it's forbidden. The Tzitz Eliezer is inclined, really thinks it's prohibited. But Lemaisa, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is interesting. In the Mincha Shlomo, he doesn't come outright and say that it's permitted. In other sources, he says, like in the Shmir Shavuz Kol Chosa over here, now this is, in the new edition, it's note 147, in the old edition, I think it's note 146, it's pretty much in the same place. Reb Shlomo Zalman, again, in his classical sort of way, he writes, Benidon didan shurak machnis chamsan lemayon, lemayim mistaber de shari. Right, again, this is classical type of argument. When I'm only adding oxygen to the water, it seems like it's permitted. It's logical it should be permitted. Just like I can mix wine and water, and there's no prohibition, so here also there's no prohibition. Again, the same type of argument that the Chacham Tzvi made, that there's no tzviya by Ochlem. So you can't tell me that there's a problem of molid. He here skirts the issue of molid entirely. He completely doesn't even mention the word molen. Like, that would be the possibility. He says, yeah, it's got to be permitted because everybody knows I'm allowed to mix wine with water on Shabbos, and that's not a problem. And he wants to say that even attaching the device to make the seltzer, again, I think the devices he had is not exactly the same as the soda streams that we have, but even attaching that device, he assumes, is permitted because it's meant to be attached and detached. This is what's quoted in the Shmir Shas Kel Chasa from Reb Shlomo Zalman. In the Shulchan Shlomo, they also quote Reb Shlomo Zalman as permitting it. In some of the sources, they quote him as definitely permitting it. Other sources, they quote him as being a little more hesitant. Certainly in the Tshuva here, he doesn't say clearly that it's permitted. So, to do, I guess, a teeny bit of a retraction, though not completely, when I gave the shiur that Friday night, so I mentioned that you shouldn't make seltzer on Shabbos because Rabbi Yitzchak Shmulka says it's a problem. That's true. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmulka says it's a problem. I still think you shouldn't make seltzer on Shabbos. But you can't say that it's unequivocally usur. You can't say that there are no poskim who permit it. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, at least as quoted by some, certainly permits it. According to others, he thinks it should be permitted logically, but he's scared to pull the trigger. You can't really say it's usur according to everybody. At the same time, though, my general feeling is I'm not comfortable minimizing the prohibition of molid. And I'll tell you why. The whole idea of learning, the way I've been trained, is that we have a prohibition in the Gemara, and we're supposed to extrapolate and try to figure out what we have in the modern world that resembles the prohibitions in the Gemara. We're not these... We're not like literalists. We're not strong people who are only into the this text says it and nothing else is permitted. Generally, we don't learn that way. Generally, our approach is that we have a prohibition in the Gemara and we say, okay, so what resembles that prohibition in the Gemara? If there is something that the Gemara talks about as being molid, it's hard to say the Gemara only means I can't rub items on the keli. On the beged. That's the only thing that's forbidden. But anything else, even though it looks like I'm making something new entirely, that's going to be permitted. It seems to me like that is a very hard argument. And I need to hear a real reason why there should not be molid when it comes to making seltzer. Why would it not be molid? If there is a prohibition of molid in the Gemara, why would making seltzer not be molid? Until I hear that type of reason, maybe some of you will tell me one now, so I'm not completely comfortable, especially in light of the fact that many poskim. Now, Chacham Ovadia also permits making seltzer on Shabbos, but that's because Chacham Ovadia assumes there's no prohibition of molid at all, whatsoever. If I'm an Ashkenazi and there is a prohibition of molid, so then I don't know why Seltzer would be permitted. Let's hear from Shmuel then Vera.
So if you want to assume this is a categorical prohibition, how are you going to conceptualize it? Like, where do you draw the line?
Right, so that's a very hard question to answer.
Because that's really going to determine...
So I think, again, the way people perceive it is a big deal. I think people perceive seltzer as being something completely different than plain water. It has a different name. Therefore, if I'm making some... tea and coffee is a strong question, but we know making tea is permitted. Everyone has said it's making tea is permitted. The older Poskim felt that making seltzer isn't permitted. I don't know of anyone from the older generation who says that making seltzer is permitted. What?
Sounds to me then like combining any three ingredients to create something new, even without cooking, that could also be molded. Like, it's just
if I create something that's completely new on Shabbos, I really have to grapple with the issue of molded. I don't know. Again, I don't know the criteria of what's included and what isn't. It requires a lot of work, but I'd be more inclined to say, once Poskim say something is forbidden based on molid, I'd say, okay, so that creates almost a fact on the ground, and then prove to me why it shouldn't be. You're right. I might not, on my own, extend it, but I'm not doing that work. That Rabbi Yitzchak Shmolkus and the Maharsham did.
I would try to create a categorical, like a conceptual...
Right. If we could, that would be great. As of now, I don't have one. If we could think together and try to come up with one, that would be very helpful. Absolutely. Agreed. Yeah.
Looking at something different than what we're doing now, right? Because she talks about like a chemical reaction. I don't know exactly how the makers work, but like I sort of vaguely remember something my parents used to have, and like they had these whatever they put it, and then it exploded and changed, right? Whereas now we're doing is taking water and pumping it into a bottle of water. It's like an air can.
But there clearly is a chemical you can't say that.
We're mixing two things that already exist together.
Right.
In a way that looks more obvious than I think what they were looking at.
So you're saying that it's obvious to people today with the soda streams that I have my air over here and my wood over here, and I'm just combining them.
And then, like, the flavors, too, right? No one would say putting, like, the flavor in the water is other, right? Because that's tea or coffee or
I'm not... I don't know... I understand where you're coming from. I understand what you're saying. It doesn't seem to me to be that way. Again, I haven't even gotten into the Sitz Eliezer's argument of how soda looks alive in some ways, which is an interesting type of argument, but that's not for now. Yeah.
It was a strong conversion of what the soda stream is now. You have a cartridge of CO2, and you're injecting it into the water.
Right.
The soda stream is now just a larger version of it that's refillable. That's literally the only difference from now they had 50 years ago. I don't know if it's 150 years ago, but the other day you make seltzer by injecting CO2 into water.
Right. I don't think it's such a complicated process.
No.
Right.
But I was wondering, the fact that seltzer is temporary.
So,
does that change anything?
So again, the Poskim assume that even temporary molid is a problem. Remember, when I add a fragrance to my suit, right? So how long does it smell good? Take an esrog and rub it over some stuff. How long does the smell last? It's also pretty temporary,
mm-hmm.
right? So the Poskim say that temporary molid, again, from the case in the Gemara and the case that's in Shulchan Aruch, rubbing an esrog on stuff is in the Maharsham. Now, there are other... there's a whole other discussion over here that comes up in the Taz in terms of Psik Reishes and Drabonon, which I decided to leave off of the Makoros sheet. But if you look at the beginning of that Taz that I quote, it's the last Taz in Tav Kuf Yud Aleph, there's a whole other approach. I decided to steer away from that, but, yeah. Any other comments? Yeah.
Quick question. The last two words mean just what is the word?
The gam sham molid harkava chemis. There's also molid because there is a chemical connection. Chemis is chemical and harkava. What? Okay. Right? It's like a chemical connection. It's electrische Verbindung. Yeah. Yes.
Because Ravaja doesn't see the full implied side of
the okay, so if Molin isn't the reason for electricity being Usur, so then what? So we'll have to talk about that in the next few weeks of Shirim. But the basic answer is that there are six other possibilities.
That he believes? No, I'm not asking
what Chacham Ovadia says. Chacham Ovadia is always inclined to some combination of possibilities. It's hard to know exactly. It's hard to know exactly what he says. You have to read a lot, so I can't answer you right now. But, okay, so thank you very much for coming. So next week I think we'll continue with why electricity is forbidden on Shabbat.
Who do you usually send these to?